How are you? Nice to have you on the program. Say hello to John.
I don't know what, I don't know how old you become when happy birthday turns into like, you know, go from like, hey, happy birthday, you're 47. Happy birthday, you're 51. When you cross a certain line, like when you qualify for senior living at some point, it really needs to be more maudlin. It needs to be a dirge, a death, you know, it should be a death march.
Happy birthday,
you're still alive, you know, something.
That's all right. Today's my birthday, and they wish me happy birthday to Lindsay's dad.
There you go. That's your claim to fame. All right, I'm only talking for one more second. I have to get something on my chest. I can't find the piece of paper.
It's better than happy birthday, that guy who did quirky magic back in the mid-'80s. at least you're relevant for one of your crowning achievements of your life. You actually stayed in touch with your rich daughter all this time. Most people aren't even talking. Their daughters aren't even talking to them if they're as big a louse as we are. So
he's a good dad. I want to say this. We've never met. I've heard you. You know, I'm a ship guy for a long time, and I hear your name all the time from people that see you on land and at sea. And I caught you on the Jake Ehrenreich, or Aaron. I can't get his name right.
Jake Ehrenreich.
Yeah, and you were just killing. And I felt bad for Jake because I said to John, I said, I probably won't have a chance to talk because Jake just kept staring at you. He just kept going for like 25 minutes. But I just wanted to say, it was one of the funniest sets I've ever seen. I'm not sucking up. I mean that sincerely. That was hilarious. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. It's not like I panel on talk shows very often, but this was a talk show that's staged in a small theater on the Upper West Side in New York City. And my rule of thumb is when you go on one of these things, I stole a page out of Rickles' playbook. Just commandeer the show. Take over the show. Don't let the host speak. Everything he says, just make fun of him. Look at your watch a lot and wonder how long it's going to be before this is over. Do that whole thing. And I do that well. So that's what I did. And thank you. It went pretty well because of that. I stole Rickles' talk show protocol.
So I have a question I should ask you. It's off the air. You know, on our website, I put featured videos and I put the link up. So it links right to a YouTube video. If you don't mind, tonight I'm going to put that up there so the people that are listening today could just check that out because it is just funny for 20-some-odd minutes. You're just tearing it up. So if that's all right, I'll link it.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah. Thank you, Tom. Don't leave it up there too long because Ferentino will end up watching it and then acquiring any of the stuff that applies
to his spooky stuff.
Yeah, that's become distally relevant. Yeah.
No, that would be Minervini. That would be Richie.
That would be Richie. We had Richie Minervini on this week. We had to have an interpreter signing on the radio. You can't understand one word he says anymore.
Wearing a clothespin over their nose because Richie hasn't had a shower since March 14th. So
he's also at the Black Box this week. He's in after you, I think. He's in Saturday night.
Well, he's one of those test acts. They just want to see, you know, a comedian on stage. It doesn't necessarily require that there be anyone in the audience for his show. He usually draws about 11 people from Pompano that have a vowel at the end of their name.
All his family.
Right.
What have you been doing the rest of us? Now, for me, it was, I have nothing to do. I'll start this radio show. And John came on as a guest. He had nothing to do, so he stuck around. How are you staying busy?
I don't want to take this down a dark road, not because of COVID, but my dad passed away, 93, thank God. Wow. It was about time. He just wouldn't die. And my mother remains somehow at 85. They were married 66 years. So on top of burying my dad, now I had to do the burial because of the social distancing. I had to pick a shovel up at Home Depot and go over to the funeral park. And they said, here, bury your own father. You know, we'll take $2,500 off the bill. And so I buried my dad. And now my mother moved to an assisted living. So now I'm digging through a garage, which should be an A&E reality show of 100 years worth of worthless, meaningless shit that used to have value back in the 1940s.
Can't get rid of it.
And my mother's going, My mother's going, don't throw that away. You don't know how expensive that was. I go, he's missing a hand and a foot. I'm throwing it away, you know. She's got all these shitty porcelain figurines that my grandmother gave her that made it over on the boat when the Jews escaped the Nazis before Hitler started using methamphetamine. So she's got figurines made by English China houses of Roman soldiers taking a break after slaughtering the Etruscan. And every single piece that in her collection is missing a hand. The guy's missing his sword. His shin has a chip taken out of it, which makes renders all this shit worthless, right? Oh, that was a very expensive piece. You should call Christie's, you know. So anyway.
Okay.
That's what I've been doing.
Anything you want to advertise on the show? A couple of pieces you might unload? We don't have video, but we can describe. Maybe the guy without a shin gets you a couple dollars.
No, let me tell you something. I got one of those, they call it a Bagster. I don't know if John may be familiar with this because...
Because I'm Italian.
It's a dumpster made of fabric it has these big straps. And instead of a big iron dumpster, it's made of like nylon and you fill it with stuff and then they come with a crane and they pick it up. It's a soft dumpster, as it were.
I never heard of that before. That's the first time I heard of that.
Yeah, they got them.
Yeah, it's an innovation. So if you're moving or if you're doing construction work, you can put these Bagsters anywhere and then they slide, you know, pretty easily. So I had two of those Bagsters going. And it was very, you know, there's something even more than demolition. There's something satisfying about throwing away everything that you've seen at your mother's house that you've been walking past these items for years going, oh, I'm going to throw that away. Oh, that's going in the fucking garbage. You know, now you can act. So there's a catharsis to that. It's kind of like John would know this, doing someone else's jokes and then getting laughs for them. It gives you a certain thrill. There's a thrill to that.
I'm glad we had John.
Now he's quoting soliloquies from his daughter's screenplays and getting laughs for that. So it's generational, Tom.
I hear you. I hear you.
All right, let's bring this back. Sarge, you used to have a radio show, right?
Yes, I did. Fox Sports Radio. I was on, unlike this show, I was on in 168 markets around the country.
Hey. Listen.
There's four people listening in Tom Drake's house right now.
We do have a whole bunch of people in Toronto, if you know any, have any Canada jokes. San Diego. One thing, great, you probably know this, with internet radio, we can actually track where they're listening from. Buffalo, New York, Fredericksburg, Virginia, Deer Park, New York. I wonder who that is. South Carolina, Pennsylvania, outside Pittsburgh. You know, we're not huge yet, and I'm not defending it either because we're just infantile and also in our infancy. But it's pretty neat to know that they, you know, they hang out with you. But you're right, 168 markets on Fox is a little bit larger. So,
Tom, you also forgot to include the two people that are leaning against the door on the outside of where you're doing this show from. And if you open the door, they'll fall in. They're trying to listen without headphones, but... I started on Fox without ever having done the radio before. But interestingly, guys, before I did Fox Sports Radio, I got involved in this thing, which I know John knows about. And Tom, you might have heard about this. It was an internet comedy radio thing called Comedy World, where this very rich guy from San Francisco pulled a bunch of big comedy club acts off the road. He pulled Shoemaker and Slayton. And I don't know why he got Ken Ober, but he got Ken Ober involved. And he put comics as the host of their own radio shows out of a trailer park inside of a warehouse in Marina Del Rey. And that was my first foray into radio. They put me in a booth with a guy named Mike Orenstein. And we called ourselves, and John would enjoy this, Sergeant Stein, the Monsters of the Night.
Hey, it's not bad. Really, not the big broadcast, but it's a little bit okay. So, how long did you do that?
Well, we started there, and then Because of my past in being a production assistant and associate producer, before I ever started doing comedy and before I was homeless, because of crack, ketamine, and angel dust, consuming those in mass quantities, before that, I worked in network television sports as a writer for talent. I was a broadcast associate, which meant I worked at ESPN during the Keith Olbermann, Dan Patrick days as a writer and a highlight producer. And then before that, I was at CBS. So when I moved to LA, I randomly, while I'm doing Comedy World, I got a call from a guy named Chris Myers, who's a game play-by-play guy for Fox football and auto racing. He calls me up and he says, hey, Sarge, I need a sidekick. They're starting up this new thing, Fox Sports Radio. And I said, okay. He says, come in. We'll do a couple of days and you'll see how you like it. And we can pay you $100 an hour. So I went in. And I'm doing Comedy World. I'd never done radio in my life. And now I'm doing 40 hours a week at Comedy World. And now I'm coming into Fox Sports Radio. It's a brand new venture. I'm there 2 days when this guy with gray hair motions to me with his index finger through the window, the glass next to the broadcast, the board. He says, come here. So I come out of the studio. He says, how come you don't have your own show? I said, I'm sorry. He said, you should have your own show. This guy's a stiff. He pointed at Chris Myers. So I said, well, I'm only here to be his sidekick. He says, you want to be a sidekick or you want to have your own show? I said, well, I can't do that. He goes, don't worry. I'll take care of him. You're so hell-bent to be a sidekick. Sidekick with him, and you'll do 3 hours on your own right after that. So I worked 2 to 5 with Myers as a sidekick and 5 to 8 Pacific time on my own show. And it went from 13 core affiliates within a year and a half to 168 affiliates around the country. And so for a couple of years, I held down a gig where every day I was doing 2 to 3 hours of live sports talk radio to every ham head on the planet.
Speaking of sports radio, we have a lot of people from Canada. And when we used to sit up and have lunch and stuff, and you would do your Islander play-by-play, can you do a couple of minutes for those people in Canada? You know I love that. You know I love that. I don't want to put you on the spot. I mean, it was all improv. It was just funny.
Well, I secretly at that time, before I ever realized my true desire, dream, wish was to be a comedian, I wanted to be Marv Albert because I grew up in New York.
Yeah, sure. He's the best.
And so, you know, it was Bossy Albert, a Potvin in the corner, a couple times around the Gillies behind the net. Bothered by Salming with a blistering check in the corner, and now Hammerstrom lugs the puck out for the Maple Leafs. He shovels it ahead to Sittler, and and I would just go on and on and on. And I would practice doing Marv, doing a game between the Maple Leafs and the Islanders, the Rangers and the Flyers, and so
that's fabulous, yeah. Fabulous.
That's funny.
And the Knicks, and the old days, and the Knicks.
Hey guys, my big contribution to comedy, because I'm such a genius, was taking that impression. I had to figure out what to do with the impression. So what I did was my big setup, which is so pathetic, was doesn't Marv Albert sound like he's on the toilet with constipation when he's doing a game? You know, and you know it was Trottier right side over to Bossy to Gillies. I'm out of toilet paper. 2:44 remaining. We have to go to a break in the action. That was my big contribution to comedy back in the 90s.
That's funny.
Well, you know, Richie Minervini's brother, Craig, that's how he got started in sports radio. He won the Marv Albert Soundalike contest. And now he's the voice of what?
The Florida Ducks. Marlins. Florida Marlins, the Florida Panthers, and every other Fox Sports Florida. Yeah.
Just because he won a Marv Albert Soundalike contest.
He's a small market host who does in between periods of the Panthers game. He does all the interstitial stuff for the Florida Marlins, and then when the announcers are either out of town or sick or something, Craig will even do play by play for any of those sports. In addition to Dolphin wraparound week coaches shows and Miami Heat, so he's the king of Miami, and Richie lives in Deerfield Beach in a condo with no balcony.
All right, this is a dumb question, but I have to ask it. You took this sports show on. You're obviously a sports nut? I mean, you can't do 15 hours a week on the radio about sports if you're not consumed with sports, correct?
Well, the problem with that is when you do that many hours a week on the air, and then they ask you to do a weekend show on Saturdays, you have to do as many hours of show prep for the amount of hours that you're on the air. Because remember, no matter how much of a sports nut you are, if you're on in 168 markets, you're not familiar with whether or not the University of Missouri has a big recruiting class coming in for their basketball program this season. So you have to be as knowledgeable about the local markets as the guy listening, because if you don't have the skinny on stuff, he turns it off immediately. He's tuning in to learn and to talk with you about all that stuff. So you have to bone up on 120 NCAA teams, all the golfers, all the auto racers. God forbid it's an Olympic year. And then 32 teams in all the major sports, in addition to anything else that's going on. So it's a grind. Yeah. And at some point, your head wants to explode. It's much better to be in local sports radio where you only have to do four or five teams.
And did you, how long, you hung it? That sounds just a dumb interviewee, but did you finally say enough's enough and went full-time comedy? Is that what happened?
No, as always happens, Tom, and John knows this very intimately. At some point, they tell you enough's enough,
okay.
And then they take away your entry badge, and then you go to the car with a cardboard box of a few bobbleheads and a couple of credentials that you had hanging from the microphone. No, what happened was, and this is the true story, 9/11 happened, and shortly after 9/11, ad rates were so far down that they offered me a 40% decrease in my pay. And the ridiculous thing was they never anticipated that my show would take off and pick up 168 affiliates. And my agent had it worked into the deal that for every 15 affiliates that signed up for my show and took my show on the air, I would get a 15% bump against my initial 135,000. So by the time I got to 168 affiliates, I got 8 15% increases in pay, and I was making more money than all the shows put together in my day part. So they said, listen, we can only pay you half of what you're getting. You're not generating the numbers in order to do that. And I said, well, listen, I can't take a pay cut. I'd rather work on Princess doing stand-up comedy on a cruise ship.
Okay. All right. I almost buy that last part.
That's how I got to ships. I ended up on the Nordic Empress.
Yeah.
And that's how I met John out of Los Angeles. I did some ship that went to Mazatlan. Now it's a cartel stronghold. We didn't think about that when we were walking around with our American faces and our dollars in our pocket. But anyway,
you're not on the ships anymore, though. I see you were going to be in. We did a show in whatever theater we were in Coral Springs, and you were going in there until this happened, if I'm not mistaken, right? The Coral Springs Performing Arts Center.
Oh yeah. I got very lucky from the standpoint of you know how sometimes life gets in the way of the way you've got it planned out, and then you have to adjust somehow. It just so happened that in the year 2008, my son was about to be born, and my parents moved down from Long Island to Florida. And the day my parents moved down, my mother fell and broke her hip. At the same time as she was already my father's caretaker, because my father wasn't doing so good. So now my mother broke her hip, my father needs help, my mother needs help, and my wife's about to have a baby. So I called the agents that had me booked on cruise ships, and I said, listen, as much as I'd like to, I gotta pull out of the year and a half's worth of guaranteed bookings that you have for me on cruise ships, because I gotta take care of my parents and my wife and my new child. And I sat home for a couple weeks and I thought, holy good God, what am I going to do? I may end up working at like Applebee's. And the phone rang and someone said, how much do you want to come to Jupiter, Florida to do a country club? How much do you want to come to Stewart? How much to do this theater, you know, in Coral Springs? How much to do this? And I just quoted them the same money I was making on cruise ships. And then all of a sudden I was making a night what I was making per week.
Yep.
On ships. And then it didn't seem even feasible or intelligent for me to go back to ships. So I just bit the bullet. I stayed on land. And thank God there are millions of elderly Jews who remember Buddy Hackett on the Joey Bishop Show.
Let me see if I can remember elderly Jews who can't see, can't walk, who drive 80 miles an hour in reverse, if I remember right. I just watched it again this morning. It was just...
These are people who can't see, can't talk, can't feel their fingertips or their feet.
Okay. We just lost the Zoom for some reason. It has to do with my phone. Take my phone out, honey. No, off there. Take me off that. Disconnect Tom, not Tom Host.
It's all gone completely. The screen went black.
Oh, isn't that great? Yep. We're live. I guess we're live in the air, and these guys don't realize that we have a technical problem, and I know exactly what the problem is because I bragged today how great everything was, and I don't think I plugged in the laptop, and it just the battery just died. We'll take a short break. I'll retrieve those guys, and we'll be right back.
People been saying to your friend, get a different face, and posting on their feed, they're super ugly. The things they say to them online are cruel, and they're not true. So tell your friend, I'll stand up for you. Don't worry, I know what to do.
Know someone being bullied online? You can be a witness and make a difference by letting the world know it isn't cool and by letting your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. And they all have one thing in common. Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard, that's optional. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. Winter. She's humble and perfect.
And
she likes everyone.
I
she even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison? Why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTechStopWrecks.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go in.
There you go. We're back. You
didn't sorry, Tom.
You didn't realize that you were having a wonderful conversation, and we went off the air for about 3 minutes, and we retrieved that. The laptop that the Zoom operates through decided to reset itself, and panic ensued, and I apologize. I ran commercials while we reset that sucker, and in the meantime, people just missed out on what looked to be a great conversation because I could see it on my iPhone. So,
but we still have it for the replay, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I'm not sure. But we didn't lose it for that. I apologize, Sarge. This is truly a one-man, one-and-a-half. Well, John's on the research side and have the material, and I'm operating everything.
Can you hear me, Tom?
We're good now. We lost the
one thing. The one thing I hope we haven't lost in all of this is the HD audio of John enjoying a lozenge. Quite succulently, breaking all the rules of podcast 101 while John's eating a package of gummy bears and enjoying them. I hope we didn't lose the extra saliva sounds of it.
My throat was really sore from laughing. You had me laughing so hard.
I'll say this again. I'm not sucking up. I must have heard your name 200 times in the last 25 years. And I always said to myself, and I mean this sincerely, oh, yeah, how funny could this guy be? But it is like having Don Rickles alive and on the show and a real pleasure, and I mean that. So,
thank you, Tom.
Especially when you beat up on John.
Glove save and a beauty by Desjardins.
Yes.
And the Islanders have no shot until they get two new goaltenders. So, anyway.
Well, we just took...
John's an old Islander guy.
John Puffin wheeling out of the zone.
Right? Didn't he always say that? Wheeling out of the zone.
Wheeling out of the zone with a shovel pass and a saucer across rink to Wayne Merrick. Merrick now crosses the blue line and quickly gets stamped into the corner boards by Stemkowski. And Dale Rolfe now will lug the puck across. You know, and I can do Ranger Islander games all day. But
and Canadians are loving this.
There's only a few of us left.
Well, if anybody missed it, I just want to say Sarge has been a big sponsor for many people in recovery, and that he deserves a round of applause.
Hold on a minute.
Thank you, and
okay, I used to have clapping. I have a new I used to have clapping here. I have a new computer. The best I can give you is a gunshot, and that's about it.
So. That's something that you could have done before I got sober, which was take me behind, you know, the Chrysler Building and shoot me in the head. But I don't deserve any applause. See, because as a mandate of recovery, you know, you don't get to keep your sobriety unless you give your sobriety away to others. So I really don't deserve any applause or any accolades for doing what's incumbent to my own survival. Sure. It's almost like I'm selfish. I'm selfish in my generous in my own self-interest, that I know that the more I give it away, the more I get to keep. So it's kind of like a cycle of sobriety that you must maintain. Otherwise, as you know, you so often happens, people go back to using again. And it's largely because they're not hearing themselves say what other people need to hear. So it's a neurolinguistic thing. You have to hear yourself helping others and saying the things that various people need to hear in order to stay clean, so that you can remind yourself what you need to do in order to stay sober. So I don't deserve a round of applause. A lot of times people want to give you a big round of applause for being such a great guy. I'm not a great guy because I decided to be a great guy. I'm a great guy because that's the recipe for survival when you are someone who suffers from addiction. And so,
well, I respect you. And I totally respect
you
for that.
Thank you. As a pot smoker, you respect me.
Somebody put on the internet the other day on Fox, Facebook, they go, has anyone ever tried marijuana? And I went, having a quarter of a pound in your house all through the 60s, does that count?
Now, this might have happened during the downtime. How many years is it now for you, Sarge, that you're doing?
If I stay sober through this pandemic and through having a rifle cocked and sitting on my couch every night with a welding helmet in a bubble wrap suit waiting for looters to break down my door and steal my Apple computer off the desk, I'll have 30 years sober in December. My birthday is December 27th, 1990. So this is my 30th anniversary. Much more important than my birthday. Your birthday you get automatically just because you were born. Your sobriety birthday you get because, as I mentioned earlier, you continue to be a foot soldier in the army of people helping other people, eradicate the scourge of addiction from their own life. So there you go.
Great stuff. Now,
I heard you got a new manager.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Okay.
The last thing I want is to hear from him going, so you're on some fucking shitty internet radio show telling everybody that you've got the top manager in show business.
Oh, okay. So I know where it's going.
I'm not doing that.
Ray said the same thing about doing Bobby Collins' podcast.
That's very inside. If Sarge doesn't want to say that, if it is who I think it is, I know it is. That's a pretty good guy to have.
I will say this. He called me yesterday with a very large offer for a Zoom gig in September. And I'm shocked. It's amazing. I handle some of my own business and, you know, I negotiate rates commensurate with what I think I can get for it.
Sure.
He calls you up and goes, how much you think I got you for that gig in New York in September? And I go, I don't know. A couple thousand, 3,000. He says, 12,500. Yeah. He goes, 12,500. Fuck you. So I said, fuck me. So I said, did you get flights? He says, you're getting 12,500. Buy your own fucking flights. And he hangs up.
Well,
I told you once, because I was with a manager very similar. I was actually with the same guy. And once they called up for a gig, and the guy wanted to pay half of what Rory wanted. I'm sorry.
Just gave out the name.
Well, you don't know what it is. It's Rory Goldberg.
There you go.
There's three people listening.
So anyway, he just said to the person, well, it's no disgrace not to afford the act you really want. The guy goes, what do you mean I can't afford it? And he goes, well, you can't pay it, so I figured you just can't afford it. And the guy goes, well, I can afford it. I mean, he's a brilliant
negotiator. He actually isn't that good a negotiator because he tried to talk me out of doing this today with you. So, and I didn't listen.
And we're friends. And the three of us are friends.
He's not in Hicksville, New York, is he?
Do you know how you can tell that I have killed myself during the broadcast? If he actually joins this chat while we're here. I wouldn't put past him.
Well, I'm staring at his office is in Hicksville, is it?
No, it's in Roslyn. It's on Northern Boulevard in Roslyn, across from where Wetson's used to be. He didn't
bother. 12 cent hamburgers.
you remember Wetson's?
12 cent hamburgers when they first opened.
Yeah. Wetson's made White Castle seem like a steakhouse.
All right,
it may seem like Peter Luger's.
Peter Luger.
All right, so Wednesday and Thursday, the Black Box. Is there cake?
I don't think so. No. There'll be seven people there, all going. Is Minervini finished? I really enjoyed watching Richie, because when you see Richie, it's like watching an all-star of comedy variety show without having to see all the other comedians. So that's what's great about seeing Richie. Richie has, you know, pays homage silently and secretly and anonymously to every comedian he's ever known, which I think is one of the most wonderful things about Richie.
I saw a guy once named Steve, last name we left out. He was he also practiced that same art, so we'll let it go.
Hey, can I tell you something? I heard Jackie the Joke Man say something. I know he's a friend of Ferrantino's. Tom, you must have come across Jackie over the years.
Sure.
He said, what are the chances in all of recorded history that people don't come upon the same premises and the same punchlines? Comedy is something that is shared with everyone, and it's best when everyone shares it with each other. It's not best when there are people with a shield and a helmet. Hey, that's my joke. That's my premise. I thought of that punchline first. How much original comedy really is there? So the only thing that matters is that we entertain people and put a smile on people's faces. And however that's achieved, that's the goal.
You're
the
right.
Goal is no, you know, at our age, who's the arbiter of good taste and originality? Who gives a shit? I mean, the job is to make people happy. And if you don't do that, you don't get to be happy.
And if you look at all those old acts, you know, like Dangerfield and, you know, Rickles, a lot of them did the same jokes. Henny Youngman, they all did the same
Jackie
jokes.
Jackie Mason and Dangerfield used to fight over. They all said they had some jokes. They said I wrote it, they wrote it, whatever. Youngman was the best, though. I remember watching the old Dean Martin roast, and whatever they have Youngman on. Youngman would never have material for the roast. That's not what he did. He would do one joke about the guy and say, but enough about him. And then he would do his act. And, of course, everybody was dying because he was doing the same act. I say many times for all these years on ships, I beg to have another stand-up comic with me on the ship, but they never do. When I'm on the ship, they won't send another stand-up. And I said, as long as you send a stand-up from the U.S., I shouldn't say that. If you send one from England, we're fine. You can't put two English stand-ups on the same ship because they'll fight over the gags. But if you put two American stand-ups on the same ship, you don't have a problem, because even if we went down the same road, the same premise, the same idea, we have different jokes. And I've done farewell shows with other comics on Princess where they said something like what I was going to say, but mine was different. And I went out and just said, like he said, and then I did my version. That's, you know, you're right. There's only so many premises, so many setups, and so many ways you can go. It's about having the different twist. If your switch is different than his switch or her switch, then you're good to go. I don't know how I got into Comedy 101 here, but it's when I was on a Princess ship one time. I won't name the English comedian. he was with his manager, and we're having a drink, and they looked at me, go, you write your own material? And I go, yeah, of course. He goes, how does that work? How does that work? That's what you have to do. You're not going to survive in the U.S. You're right about the helm and the sword. Some people are a little too tough on it, but in some cases, you know, that's what sets us apart. John will back me up on this. When I watched that set that you did on that TV show for 20 some odd minutes, and I can't breathe. And I said to John, I honestly never heard anything even close. Everybody has things about, you know, old people in Florida, but not that way, not with a machine gun delivery like a Mal Z or.
Right. That's what Thank you.
That's what he reminds Thank me you. Of. Is, you know,
I settled into, you know, everyone's got a process by which they construct what they do. And I will say this, and I'm not bragging. I'm not doing a boast here. Back in 2005, 2006-ish, I met a gentleman named Gary Marshall.
Sure.
And he saw me perform in Los Angeles, and our good friend Scott Record was there in the audience, sitting next to Gary. Scott Record's an entertainer,
sure, I know.
But I'm sure Tom and John have worked with countless times.
The Reagan Rap.
And after I killed in front of this 3,500-seat theater, Record came back to me and he says, are your agents here? I said, I don't have any agents. He said, well, you should have them call Gary Marshall because he absolutely loved you. He was doubled over, crying with laughter. You should call him. So a couple of days later, I wrote him a note and I FedExed it to him. I didn't mail it. I FedExed a note to Gary Marshall saying I would have loved to have met you and shake your hand and just thank you for that role you did in Albert Brooks's movie Coming to America, where he played the casino boss.
Yeah.
And he calls me about 4 days later. I get a call on the phone, and this guy says, hello? I said, hello. He says, what are you so happy about? So I said, sir, who is this? Who is this? Who answers the phone? Who is this? So I said, well, I don't know who you are. What are you so happy about? And he kept asking me, what are you so happy about? And finally, he told me, it's Gary Marshall. And I said, oh, shit. You're calling. Gary Marshall is calling me. He wanted to know what I was so happy about. And I said, what do you mean? He says, you're the only happy comic I've ever seen in all my years. He says, I wrote for Jack Parr. I wrote for Joey Bishop, Bill Foster. I found Robin Williams. I worked with Gleason. I worked with Lucy. All miserable, maudlin, neurotic, alcoholic people. All suicidal, miserable. He says, you're the only happy comic I've ever seen. And I said, I am? He goes, I can spot happy because I'm happy. And I said, oh. And it forced me to look at myself. This is, you know, 14 years ago. He saw happy. And I thought to myself, you know what? I am happy. I'm a happy person. I think that's where my comedy emanates from. I have anger, like a lot of anger comics. But it's coming from a loving, happy place as opposed to a dark, angry place. And it works for me. And it took Gary to point that out. He said, you don't have to write jokes. Just show up and be yourself and share your happy with people. The world needs more of that. There are enough joke writers and enough anger comics. Just be the happy guy. Because the world needs more happy. And if you look at the last 2 weeks of our lives,
yeah,
he's not wrong.
No.
We need more happy.
But I will say, I will say that when I watched you, Mousy, but Rich Jenny too, when you have an idea, it's not just, and I'm lazy that way. I have a premise, I have two jokes. You have a premise, you have 15. Where Rich Jenny would do the same thing. He would have an idea and he would just, it would be like I once heard someone say, you know, it's called the punchline, because with Rodney, you couldn't breathe because he just kept coming at you and coming at you. And that just doesn't happen by itself. Part of it's being happy and part of it's being pretty damn funny.
Gary Marshall is a pretty amazing guy. You know, I mean, he gave you a break. He loved you. I had a friend of mine who had a party, Gary Marshall, and she's a balloon sculpturist. And she made all these balloon things, these balloon arches and these balloon animals. And he walks up and she's there doing it. And he walks up and he goes, hey, are you the balloon girl? She goes, yeah, he goes, listen, balloon girl, I really appreciate what you're doing. What are you doing tomorrow?
And he goes, nothing. He goes, I got a part for you in my movie. I'll send you a ticket. You come, you do some balloons.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. What a great guy, you know?
He said to me, when he invited me to be in New Year's Eve, he said, I'm doing a little picture in New York. You want to come? So I said, yeah, I'll come. He says, so when are you coming? I said, well, I'll come whenever you tell me to come. He says, you know what? Don't come. I said, what do you mean? I said, you just invited me. Now you're telling me not to come. He says, I'll bring you. You'll be brought. Then you don't have to come. If I bring you, I'll pay. If you come, you're going to have to pay. He said, all right, so I'll bring you. I said, terrific. He says, so you're coming? I said, no, I'm being brought. This is what I'm talking
That's
about.
Funny. That's...
Just from the conversation, yep, and just from sharing anything, comedy can emanate from a conversation. It doesn't have to be a perfectly constructed, well-written joke. Sometimes when there's a personality infused, like in the case of Tom Drake, like in the case of John Farentino, and so many other people we know, you can just be funny, just being funny, just being you.
Just be yourself. And that's, I tell people that, especially, you know, sometimes I help singers and they always have these awful gags. They're trying to turn them into a real story. I said, why don't we just write your life? Tell me something that happened and we'll write a real story about your life. And then you're comfortable telling the story because it's about you. You don't have to try to think of that gag that you, you know, you got somewhere. Just oh, sorry about that.
He broke open another bag of gummy bears then, I guess.
No. You know, it's so funny you were saying about Gary Marshall in that movie. I think of that scene in that movie, and I just start laughing when he goes, you lost a lot of money. I understand. Room, food, comp.
He was tremendous. Hey, guys.
You know what was?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. The funniest thing was when he said, when Albert Brooks tries to pitch him on the Desert Inn has heart. The Desert Inn has heart. He says, this is a place that gave people their money back. Not like all the schmucks that come here to see Wayne Newton. And he says, I like Wayne Newton.
He's a friend of mine.
I love Wayne Newton.
I didn't mean Wayne Newton.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
I was just going to say, I'm walking on you all over the place. I don't want to keep you all day. I probably could. I know the listeners have, and there are more than three, but less than 3,000. An enjoyable time, Sarge, and I wish you luck Wednesday and Thursday with, I'm sure you'll have a big house with, are they wearing masks?
They'll be wearing masks. And one more thing I want to plug to your listeners that I think they'll enjoy. I'm working on a podcast called Mental Radio. With Shadow Stevens out of Los Angeles.
Fabulous.
And it's brilliant. It's called Mental Radio. They can go to mentalradio.net. And what it is it's like old time radio mixed with Saturday Night Live, mixed with the Twilight Zone. It's kind of like unlike any other podcast in that it's a serial radio with lots of funny stuff in between. Mentalradio.net. And I'm very proud of it. And there's a couple celebrities involved, and it's awesome. So check it out.
Well, Shadow Stevens is not exactly new in the business. That's a veteran guy, so that should be a great podcast.
The only one who wears a mask at the Black Box is Randy when he pays you.
Hello.
I'm working with John Farentino. I mean, I only work with artists that are done, like people who are just done. And so Shadow Stevens, John Farentino. I'll be going on with Otto and George in about 10 minutes after I hang up from you guys. And they're not only are they done, they're dead.